Well, good evening and greetings in the precious name of Jesus Christ. You can turn a while to Psalm chapter 32. Psalm 32. See, the message tonight is entitled God's Medicine for Aging Bones. And when I come in and saw the front end, it's a little fuller than it was, but it's not as full as it used to be. I'm thinking, where are all the old people? And then it hit me. Yeah, I are one of them. Oh, dear. So now when I come up here, I'm thinking, how can I avoid falling on my face in front of you all coming up the steps? It takes a little more thought than it used to. I'm grateful. I did have a health issue about 2 years ago, but since that, have been healthy. And many people my age have a lot of aches and pains. But this chapter will certainly talk about an antidote for some of those problems. I do want to take this opportunity to thank you for your generous gifts to Bible Helps. Usually either we have a postage bill, we run about 5,000 we put in a postage meter at a time, and a lot of times the Pleasant Hill offering will come soon after or just before, and we'll think, well, thank you Pleasant Hill for covering the postage for another 6 weeks, or maybe it's a paper bill. This time we had both in the same week, and the Rhodes Grove offering came and covered the paper bill. And I heard there was a Pleasant Hill offering, and when that comes, that'll take care of the postage bill. We thank the Lord that we don't have to take out of the savings accounts at those times. It's been a good year. We're planning to haul about 1.5 million tracts to Bronx and New York City within the next few weeks. We're making final arrangements to rent a Penske truck and make that run. We've known Melvin Brazoband for quite a few years now, and he gets them all around New York City as well as in the Dominican Republic. So we're thankful for that. I just might mention regarding the new issue of Bible Helps that Brother Merle put out this evening. I heard a little report from your meetings a few nights ago that Brother Jim talked about non-resistance, and that he talked about some stories from Ernie Swalm. And I'd just like to mention this Bible Helps that's out right now is written by Bishop Ernest Swalm, it says. Those that knew him called him Ernie. About the two kingdoms, the church and the state. And the book that Brother Jim told stories from, Non-Resistance Under Test. This article is actually the first chapter from that book. So I'd encourage you to read it. I found a copy of that book at, I think, a small Mennonite bookstore not too long ago. There's a few copies still floating around, even though they were published many decades ago. Psalm chapter 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bone waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with the bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. This time, all those who conveniently can and care to, let's kneel for prayer.
Will you join me in repeating the theme verse for this week? Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Pleasant Hill is that they might be saved. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for helping to bring the Word of God out of the book right down to today. You know, the Bible makes it very plain that we need to be saved, and the Bible gives a simple plan how it can happen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
And so it's good for us to have the language of being saved in our mind and in our heart. Because ultimately, you know, the world's entire population from day one of creation to the last day when Jesus returns, the entire world's population is going in one of two directions. There aren't going to be a large group of people in the middle that God's not going to know what to do with them. Everybody's going to be on the saved side or the lost side, the sheep side or the goat side, the heaven side or the hell side. So it's important, very important, that we know what it means to be saved. And the Bible makes it very, very plain and very simple. One of the older ministers at White Oak that I remember quite often would go over the simple plan of salvation. And he would say something like this. His name is Brother Milt Hershey. He would say, we do it just like they did it in the New Testament. We need to repent of our sins. We need to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We need to be baptized. We need to become a member of the church. And then from then on, we need to prove our love to the Lord by keeping his commandments. That really is a very simple plan. Not difficult at all to understand. And I thank the Lord that by his Holy Spirit and by preserving his word, that simple plan is available for us today. It's nothing all that difficult. It just means start out with being willing to repent, make a public confession of faith, be baptized in water, become a member of the church, and then prove our love by keeping his commandments. It's a wonderful little simple plan. And then on the final day, Jesus will say, I knew you. Come on in. Enjoy the blessings forevermore. Well, tonight's message is designed a little more for older folks. God's medicine for aging bones. Something very silently is happening to us while we sit here. It happens to us every day. We are getting older. I'm not going to state the age when you become older. I said there are two sermons designed for young people, those who used to be young people and those who are. But I'm not going to give the deciding age. I know there was a man years ago in a very cocky way when he was a young fellow. He said, you can't trust anybody over 30. Guess when he stopped saying that? When he had his 30th birthday. From then on, he wasn't so skeptical anymore. And this is happening to us every day. We are getting older. But I'm here to announce tonight it need not be a bad thought. After all, aging is something that God designed just as much as birthing. So don't try and resist it. Enjoy the various stages of life. And tonight I think this scripture gives us a little help, even when we get into the older stages of life, how it can still be a fulfilling experience. Indeed, coming into the aging process does have with it some disappointments. Some physical abilities begin to fade away. Some relationships come to an end. Spouses who pledged their love and life to each other many years ago, one has to say goodbye to the other. That's always a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing then to begin to live without that spouse and the changes that need to take place. And I can only say that because I know it. As a matter of fact, I cannot say it because of experience, but I've listened to lots of people talk about how difficult it is and the challenge that comes with it. Denying that aging is happening will not take it away. So it is better to live with reality and ask God to help you try and have a positive experience. There are some older people, I noticed who really do maintain a wonderful positive attitude about life. I heard about a deacon and his wife who went to visit a very old lady in a nursing home, and they went there to cheer her up, and they walked into her room and said who they were and asked her how she's doing, and her eyes lit up and she said, "I have 4 boyfriends." And it took the deacon couple back a bit, and she said, "Every morning I get up with arthritis. And then I take a walk with willpower. I usually come back with Charlie Horse. And every night I go to bed with Ben Gay." Well, at least she was trying to have a positive attitude toward life. There are many ways that people go about trying to disguise the reality of being older. Some people try and do something with their hair. Some people try to do something with their clothing, trying to deny their age, and they take on a younger generation of things to wear. Some people try and do something with their skin, their sagging flesh, their wrinkles and the valleys and whatever else goes along with getting older. I don't know that that accomplishes a whole lot. I think the signs of aging are not something that necessarily ought to be denied. I heard of a census taker who was going up and down the street taking the census, and one of the questions was how old people were they met. He got into this particular house, and their last name was Hills. He got the information, went to the next house, and began to ask the lady questions about who she was and how old she was, and she was very sensitive about her age. She said, "I don't tell people my age." Well, the census taker said, "That is one of my responsibilities, to get people's ages." She said, "I don't tell. Just tell them I'm about as old as my neighbors." What she didn't realize, he said, she's as old as the hills. It's good she didn't see that notice. One of the less noticeable signs of aging is the deterioration of the bone structure. It's called osteoporosis. And with the aging process physically, it seems like our bone structure needs more calcium, but somehow or other it tends to be depleted. Is there something like spiritual osteoporosis also? It seems like this spiritual condition and the depreciation of physical bone structure sort of goes hand in hand. You've heard people talk about, "Oh, my aching bones." Well, my text tonight is verse 3 from Psalm 32. "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." We're going to discover in this psalm that God's medicine is in the form of thanksgiving. Being able to maintain a thanksgiving attitude as we move into the aging process has a lot to, instead of complaining about the way it is, and maybe about how we feel, and what all's gone wrong in the world, to maintain a thanksgiving attitude is God's medicine for aging bones. Now, I know you'll not find that word thanksgiving in this psalm, but there are many words here that would encourage us to express thanksgiving and have a thankful attitude. Even if life doesn't have all to offer you that it did at one time, you can still have a thankful attitude about what God has provided for you. First of all, we want to notice that from the first two verses of this psalm, he is outlining, he is kind of counting up the blessing of God. There are about a half a dozen psalms that begin with the word blessed. I mentioned the word Psalm 119 the other night, from which you're supposed to be looking for verses that don't refer to the word of God. And that big long psalm also begins with the word blessed. And there are about a half a dozen psalms that are like this 32nd psalm, beginning with blessing. And what we see in these first two verses that even though he's going to mention some of the difficulties of his bones growing older and all that goes with that, he's starting off by listing some of the blessings of God. Blessing suggests something that's good. We talk about the Beatitudes in the New Testament, and all of them start out with the word blessed. And you can almost add any number of good adjectives under the word blessed, because God's medicine of thanksgiving must be something that is taken. That medicine must be taken every day for it to really be effective. In other words, you can't go 6 days of the week without taking God's medicine for aging bones and then think on the Lord's Day, I'm going to take a big dose of that medicine and be thankful in the Lord's house and in Sunday school and when I meet brothers and sisters in the church, but then the rest of the week I'm constantly complaining about what's going on. This is a medicine. God's medicine for aging bones is something that must be taken daily. Hey, it's very appropriate to use the word medicine when I'm talking about aging, isn't it? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. How many of you take pills? How many of you take medicine? I mean, 50 years ago, I would never have imagined that today I would take as many pills as I do. In fact, that reminds me, I forgot to take mine tonight. I hope I make it home. I sometimes wonder if I just throw them all away, if anybody'd ever know. I think my doctor has a wonderful relationship with the pill companies because he keeps adding them up and adding them up, but I guess it's keeping me going. So I'm saying that the medicine cannot all be taken one day. It must be taken daily and at mealtime, at all the meals. That's a good time to take God's medicine. When you're sitting around the table, when you're eating some of the fruits of the earth, it's a good time to talk about some of the good things that you're enjoying. That's happening. In Psalm 32, the focus is on the blessing of forgiveness. You'll notice there are four words used here in these verses to express the evil load that has been lifted. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. I'll tell you, those two verses express a tremendous lifting of a burden that can weigh anybody down. So part of God's medicine is to, yes, be mindful of his blessings and to even be especially aware of the meaning of these words. Transgressions means the passing over of a boundary, doing what is prohibited. And one of the blessings is that through God's forgiveness, the penalty of sin, for that transgression. Every time a penalty for a transgression is lifted, it helps the aging bones. to do a little better. He mentions sin, which is simply missing the mark and not doing what is commanded. He also mentions iniquity, when what is morally distorted or perverted. He mentions guile, which is fraud or deceit. A person is blessed when all the shapes and forms and twists of evil have been dealt with and forgiven. The load is lifted. And therefore, it becomes good medicine for aging bones. It is this complete forgiveness from the penalty and weight of sin that forms the basis of rich blessing. And you know, I think about this many times as I see unsaved people getting older. People who really have no, they're still carrying the burden. Their physical strength is failing. They have pains and aches and problems and more doctor visits and more hospital visits, and every once in a while the ambulance comes and picks them up, and then after a while brings them back, and they have a brief respite from their problems. But the big problem they have is not being dealt with. And to think of growing older and thinking of life coming to an end and thinking of still carrying all the burden and weight of all this transgression and all this sin and all this iniquity and all this guile. My, what a blessing. Doesn't it make you feel good tonight to know that that burden, those burdens have been lifted? Can anybody say amen? Amen. I'll tell you, that makes older life something different than growing older and not having that great blessing. Well, when we're thinking about turkey, we're thinking about Thanksgiving, you often think about the turkey dinner and Thanksgiving Day, and we all enjoy Thanksgiving dinners, don't we? But, you know, it is not wrong to eat and enjoy a traditional Thanksgiving turkey dinner on Thanksgiving Day, but in terms of the real basis of Thanksgiving, these traditions carry little more weight than the turkey's feathers. Thanks be unto God for the blessing of God. There's not much talk anymore in a lot of churches about what sin is. It's almost an unheard of thing. I'm glad that the psalmist, in giving us some medicine for aging bones, is not forgetting about the big part of Thanksgiving. I say in a lot of churches, there's almost nothing mentioned about sin, even in accepting Christ. It has become so streamlined in so many churches that the sense of being a sinner is not explained. And you know, if the sense of being a sinner is not being explained, we miss the deep joy of forgiveness. If we do not come to an understanding of the exceeding sinfulness of sin. So first of all, we notice the blessing of God. And then secondly, in this psalm, we notice the curse of silence. This picks up our text tonight, verses 3 and 4. For I kept silent when I kept silence. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. In light of such blessings, he says, when I kept silence, it brought aching bones to the surface. This roaring bones likely is an expression used in a figurative way. I don't know how much David knew about the anatomy of the body, but if this roaring is to be taken literally, it may actually refer rather to the digestive tract that has a way of making itself heard in unexpected ways. It is the bones, however, that form the basic structure of the body. Ezekiel 37 contains the valley of dry bones. I read that section again today. I think I'm going to read several verses from Ezekiel 37. Probably haven't heard this scripture read for a while. We have a bony subject tonight. The valley of dry bones, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. What a desolate scene. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Now you talk about a dead audience to have to preach to. Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Just imagine what this thing looked like. Isn't there a song that says the knee bone connected to the ankle bone? What a scene. What does he say here? As I prophesied, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. The bones were waking up, and behold, a shaking. I guess if Elvis Presley would have been around, he would have sang, they're all shook up, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. What a dead group of people, having just been rescued from the dryness of bare bones, a valley full of bare bones. What a vision Ezekiel saw. I suppose some of these were old people's bones, middle-aged people's bones, young people's bones, children's bones. You know what happens? If old people's bones do too much complaining, have too many problems, it tends to rub off on the next generation. And sometimes the next generation says, the reason I don't visit my parents where they are is because every time I go, there's so much complaining and so much what's wrong and so many things they expect me to fix. And so it settles into the second generation and then maybe into the third generation and ultimately into the fourth generation. So those of us who are older need to be careful about what kind of things we're setting in motion. It is the bones that form the basic structure of the body. Ezekiel 37 gives us a graphic description. But ultimately they stood up, and ultimately he cried for the wind. And lo, verse 8 says, behold, lo, the sinews, and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, Son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You talk about God's medicine for aging bones. Ezekiel can tell you about it. In Genesis 2:23, Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. When the last Adam came along, the Bible says a bone of him shall not be broken. In Psalm 22, you can read a description of the crucifixion from the Old Testament. And one of the things it says in there, all my bones are out of joint. Yes, even Job said, touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse you to his face. Jeremiah 8:1, I think, is the boniest verse in the Bible. Jeremiah 8:1 says, at that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. You agree, that's a bony verse. But something happened in the verse before. The last verse of Jeremiah chapter 7 says, "Then will I cause decease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate." This is bringing us up to the meat of verse of Psalm 32, where we find that thanksgiving is God's medicine for aging bones. When God first of all says, mirth, joy, gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride is going to cease. And right after that, you have the boniest verse in the whole Bible, where they start bringing out the bones from one grave after another. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. The third thing I want to point out from this psalm tonight is the exercise of thanksgiving. In verses 5 through 7, the psalmist makes it very clear what things we should do. Three things here are suggested in these three verses that will help stop the bone fever. Number one is confess. Verse 6, "For this shall everyone," or verse 5 rather, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, he's opening his mouth. He's using his mouth. This is where I get the idea that thanksgiving is God's medicine for aging bones. "I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." In other words, the testimony that comes out of this man's mouth is something that helps to keep his joy going. And you know, as we get older, we should not stop thinking about our day of conversion, our moment of conversion. We should not stop having the testimony of a heart that's been changed, of a burden that's been lifted, of a joy that's been implanted, of a hope that we have. "I confess my transgression of the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Now, this is not a repeat of verses 1 and 2, because in verse 1 and 2, there is a statement made of the fact. But it's just a statement. You know, verse 1 and 2 is just a statement. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." He's saying this is a matter of fact. "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit is no guile." That's just a statement of fact. But when you get down to verse 5, this is a personal confession, something of his own experience. You know, verse 5 is just full of "I" and "my." Let me read it again. "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." I tell you, that's personal. That's a personal testimony. He's going it over and again. It may have happened years on ahead, but it's still fresh in his mind. And then he says, "Selah." Selah is a musical pause, like an amen or a hallelujah. What he's saying here, don't keep silence about your confession. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the first use of our mouth in verse 5 is to confess. The second is verse 6, which is pray. "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee." One of the things older people can do is to have a diligent ministry of prayer. Maybe you have a little more time. Maybe you don't sleep as well at night. That's a good time to be breathing prayers, to be in a constant attitude of prayer. We should have prayer lists. We shouldn't be embarrassed about having a prayer list so we are reminded of things we ought to be praying for. As we get older, sometimes we are become more forgetful, and so we need extra help to remind us of things that we ought to pray for. But we should not keep silent about praying. We should not wait for great calamities to come upon us before praying. We need to pray when God can be found. And God doesn't keep business hours. God is always alert for us to pray to him day or night. It's part of God's medicine for aging bones. Confess and pray. Put it all together, it means thanksgiving. Confessing and being reminded of God's wonderful forgiveness. Praying and maintaining that personal relationship so that even when maybe earthly relationships are terminated, there can be a heavenly relationship that's even enhanced. And then in verse 7, there is the mention of singing. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Another part of using our mouth. Don't keep silent about singing. These three activities of the tongue and mouth constitute the activity of worship and thanksgiving. Here is a way to deal with aging bones. Aging bones that are bringing discouragement, bringing heartache, maybe bringing some diseases, maybe some health challenges, maybe some financial challenges, maybe some relationship challenges. Three ways of using our mouth to speak thanksgiving. Confess. Those bones get tired of heavy loads. Let's keep the load light by confessing. By prayer, keeping the trunk lines open, maintaining a personal relationship through the practice of prayer and through singing, the testimony of deliverance. And see what follows. Verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way what thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Are you listening, seniors? If you feel like you have some aging bones, here's what God promises. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. You know, I've seen some older people, maybe in retirement homes, maybe in later years, that they're very much confined. They must be confined because they're no longer able to function well, and maybe they're functioning in ways that are dangerous unto themselves. I think by maintaining a proper relationship with the Lord, even into old age, may even help with that. Verse 10 says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Brothers and sisters, you can see that all around us, all the sorrow that people have by not living for the Lord. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. And then verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. That sounds like a pretty happy and a pretty good conclusion to life. God's medicine for aging bones. The answer really is thanksgiving. Part of thanksgiving is confessing. Part of thanksgiving is praying. And part of thanksgiving is acknowledging the goodness of the Lord. Let's be people as we age, continue to express the great blessing that God has given to us, promising to be with us even into old age. We're going to have a hymn invitation tonight, sing a few verses of a hymn. For any one of the things about if you're going to end well, it's good to begin well. And to begin when you're a young person, to accept Christ, develop a relationship with the Lord, maintain that through courtship, through marriage, if marriage isn't God's plan for you, in through middle age, when you see your children leave, and into adulthood, to keeping your hand in the hand of the Lord, but you have to get started sometime. And then you know there's also help along the journey if somehow we get off the track. God wants to bring us back. This thing of confession is a way of getting back on track when we get off track. So our invitation tonight is twofold. If you want to get started with Jesus, tonight we ask you to stand or come forward. Or if you've gotten off track in any way and you want to get back on track, to stand all and also acknowledge your need. What shall we sing? Number 65 in the green hymn. We'll sing this hymn as an invitation. Please stand as the Spirit of God.